Hi, I'm Josh Shearer and I serve as the lead pastor here at Gawler Uniting Church. I wanted to personally thank you for joining us today. We exist as a church to see lives transformed with the good news of Jesus. Now, I hope this service inspires you. I hope it blesses you. I hope it builds your faith and I hope it gives you perspective that God is moving in your life. If there is anything that we can do to help you, don't be afraid to reach out on social media or email our office. Thanks for joining us again, and let's get to the service.
Good morning, everybody, and a special good morning to those who are watching us online. Well, we come to the end of our current series, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And today, we're going to be talking about mercy. You know, growing up in Melbourne, I used to love Sundays because after the wrestling, which my grandmother loved, on Channel 9 we had what was called Epic Theatre, and it had the most dreadful Italian gladiator movies, especially dreadful by today's standard. Nothing compared to Mel Gibson's movie. Anyway, I used to love it when the gladiators be fighting or what have you, and then they'd look up to the emperor and he'd either go like this or he'd go like this. And I had to actually ask my brother, what does that mean? He said, if the emperor went like this, he was showing mercy. But if he went like this, it was killing. I tell you what, I had an amazing childhood. But what we're going to do today, we're actually going to talk about mercy. And the word mercy can be said in quite a few different forms. So before we get into it much more, let's pray. Heavenly Father, your grace and your mercy are sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Father God, I ask that you open the ears, the hearts and the minds of everybody here and those watching online. Let your words seep into their hearts like the water in a sponge. Let your word be heard throughout the nation. And let people act on it. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Okay, so if you've got a Bible, or if we're going to have it up on the screen, we're looking at the book of John from the New Testament for the children, if they're listening, starting at chapter 8, verses 2 to 11. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts with all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it's commanded for us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first. until only Jesus was left with the woman who was still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now, leave your life of sin." In other words, sin no more. I tell you what, if you're hearing this passage for the first time, it would be a real cliffhanger. Especially when they walked up to Jesus and said, "What would you do?" You think, "Oh, cool. What's he going to say? What's he going to say? What's going to happen next? Are they going to stone her? Are they going to let her go?" You know? It's a real cliffhanger because you don't know how Jesus is going to respond. When it comes to the trick of the Pharisees, they said that according to the law of Moses, this woman should be stoned. But they themselves put themselves on the wrong side, because according to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 20, the woman and the man should have been brought forward to be stoned. But how come they only brought the woman? I guess that's one of the questions we'll never know the answer to, unless we do believe that it was a trap, because they were waiting for Jesus to say, "Yes, we'll stone the woman." And then they would have said, "What about the man?" And they would have had Jesus in their grasp. But Jesus, he bent down, not once, but twice. And he wrote on the ground. Now, a lot of people say, what did Jesus write on the ground? That is totally irrelevant. Doesn't come into the factor. Have you ever thought that because Jesus, who was not just fully God, but fully man, have you ever thought that he might have just squiggled something in the ground while he was thinking, what am I going to do here? How am I going to react to this question? What's the best way to do it? Put yourself in the situation. What would you do? What would you do if somebody you loved had been murdered or attacked? If a child you love dearly had been hurt, what would you do? Last week, my 4-year-old granddaughter was attacked by a bulldog and it got her in the face. She was rushed by ambulance to the Women's and Children's Hospital where she had plastic surgery. My eldest son wanted to go down to the neighbour's place and kill the dog with his bare hands. I can understand that. He was angry. But there are channels we need to go through. And after he eventually calmed down, he realised that the channels were the right way to go. But how would you react? How would you react if a loved one was not here anymore or was deformed by someone through their own stupidity? Naturally, we would want revenge. We would want to see justice served. But our justice is not God's justice. God's justice is a world in its own. Yes, we have to obey our laws. You get into trouble if you don't. No, I don't really like the idea of going to prison. But we have to obey our laws. That's why they are there. But if we come before the throne of grace on bended knee, fully repentant, acknowledging our Heavenly Father. He will show mercy. He will show grace. And most importantly, He will show forgiveness so that you will be with Him eventually. Yes, yes, you're going to have to fill out your prison sentence or what. But as long as you are truly, heartfeltly repentant and acknowledge who God is and accept Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, you're going to be a lot happier when you pass away. As I said, God's justice is not our justice. Our justice is temporary. God's mercy is eternal. I know that I have been through stages in my life of being so angry. I don't get angry very often, but I got so angry. And I asked Reverend Josh, how do you deal when you have so much anger in you that you really want to hurt somebody? How would you feel if somebody who is a drug addict, and I'm not picking on drug addicts, believe me, I'm just using this as an example, gave birth to a baby who was born with drug withdrawal and had mental and physical disabilities because of what the mother did? And Josh said, I don't know. I would have to put that in God's hands. And that's what we have to do. We have to put it in God's hands. We have to relinquish that hatred because we're the only people that are feeling it. And if you don't relinquish that hatred, it is going to fester and grow and you will become rotten inside. Does God want to see His children rotten? Or does He want us to bear fruit? He wants us to love. He wants us to rely on Him. As I said before, man's justice is temporary. God's justice is eternal. Read the passage again later today before you go to bed. Chapter 8 in the book of John, verses 2 to 11. Read between the lines. How would that woman have felt? She would have been humiliated and wondering, why isn't the bloke here as well? Think how the Pharisees felt. Oh, we're going to go and trap Jesus. And then they walk away, knowing that they did not trap Him. Because He said, if you have sinned, you have not sinned, you have the right to cast the first stone. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have no right to do that. But because we are human, we unfortunately want our revenge. We want our justice. We want to see justice served. But when you look at it, true justice comes from God. Judge not, lest ye be judged. If God didn't love us so much, He would not have sent His Son to absorb all the sins in this world long before we were born. Before our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to bow down. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to accept Jesus into our hearts, not just as our Lord and Saviour, but as the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. And through Him and Him alone, He will intervene between God and us. And God will be merciful. And God will be gracious. and God will be forgiving. But the truth of the matter is, you have to be truly repentant and truly, truly accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So what have we learnt today? Don't hold grudges. Our justice is not God's justice. His mercy is unique. If you have not yet done so, kneel before the throne of grace. Ask the Lord's repentance. True, honest repentance, and you will receive it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you give us so, so much. You forgive us more times than we can forgive others. You show us your mercy, and we are indeed eternally grateful. Help us to become more like you. Help us to push aside our humanness and look at people and situations through your eyes, so that we too may show mercy when it's needed. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.